conference is now being recorded. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Chuck, can you do a roll call?
Sure.
Because I don't have the list in front of me, so yeah. It'd be easiest if you did.
Yeah, I will. Bear with me. Let me get the full list up on the. Okay, from the Aubrey as chair. And then from the business constituency, Philip Shepard?
Yes.
Mike Rodenbaugh?
Yes.
Bilal O'Brien?
I'm here.
Okay, and from the registries, I'm here, Chuck Gomes. Kerry Karp?
Here.
Edmund Chung?
Here.
From the ISPs, Tony Harris? Tony Holmes? Greg Ruth?
Here.
So Greg is the only one from the ISPs so far. From the NCUC, Robin Gross, Norbert Klein, Milwaukee Chongo.
Yep, I'm here.
So far, Milwaukee is the only one from the NCUC. From the registrar constituency, Ross Rader.
Good morning, Chuck.
Thomas Keller.
Hello.
And then Thomas informed us that Adrian would not be on the call this morning. And then the intellectual property constituency, Uta Decker, Cyril Chua.
Yes.
And Christina Rosette.
Yes.
Okay, so Uta's absent so far. From the NOMCOM, John Bing, Aubrey Doria.
Yeah.
Sophia Bukela. So Aubrey's the only one there. And liaison, Suzanne Sen.
Here.
And Alan Greenberg. So Alan is not with us. Okay, that covers it, Aubrey.
Okay, thanks. And from staff, we also have a number of people.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
All right, we should probably get them listed.
Let me go back. So from, and I'll go through those, Marilyn Vernon.
Here.
We have Karen Lentz.
Yes.
Olaf Nordling.
Yes.
Patrick Jones.
Hello.
And Liz Gasser.
Here.
And I don't think Liz Williams is on. Is that correct?
No, she's not.
Yeah, it probably doesn't need to be, but I just mentioned that. Did I leave anybody out from staff?
And we don't have Glenn.
Yeah, right. We don't have Glenn. And she's already been missed.
Yep, no one is dead. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Does anyone have a statement of interest that they'd like to update at this point?
Actually, Aubrey, I have a question about the roll call.
Certainly.
Does that then, what does that do for quorum?
I believe that we're still one vote short, correct?
Yeah, we have 13, Ross, and 14 is a quorum, we're one shy. So if somebody else joins, we would have a quorum.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi. This is Sophia.
Oh, Sophia's on.
Sophia, you have made quorum for us. Thank you. Okay, so I'll go through the agenda. So anyhow, I'd asked whether anyone had any statements of interest they wanted to update at this point. If not, if you have to, please send one to the list. The first item will be approval of the GNSO Council minutes from 9 August. Item 3 is a discussion on the report from the Who Is Working Group, basically talking through the final outcomes report of the Who Is Working Group. So that'll be a report. Then after that, we have a discussion on that and a discussion on how to continue, how to close this chapter of Who Is. And there was one suggestion for a process to be followed. There have been two motions sent, neither of which was actually voted this time, but we might discuss that under that point.
Aubrey, that was unintelligible the last couple of
Yeah, months. I know. I'm kind of curious what happened. Basically, we had two motions sent in. However, neither one of those was. Honey, it's like what I'm saying is getting parroted. Like neither one of those was in for 48 hours, and we've also had the discussion that perhaps motions should be in for 7 days, but still neither of them even made the 48-hour, two-day notion. So we'll have to talk when we get to that point in the discussion in terms of how we proceed, whether we take the motions, we discuss them, and whether we vote on them today, or whether we put them off for another meeting. Then we have a review of the action items and any other business. Does anyone want to comment on the agenda at this point? Any changes that need to be made? Okay, then we'll go to the first item, which was the approval of the council minutes of 9 August 2007. Does anybody have any comments or issues they want to bring up in relation to those minutes? Now, do I have a second for the approval of those minutes?
I second it.
Okay, thank you. I'll take a voice vote on those. All in favor of approving the minutes from 9 August, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. Thank you. Any abstentions?
Yes, Christina.
Christina and?
Ross, please.
And Ross. Okay.
Carrie
and Milwaukee.
And Carrie and Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The minutes are approved. Okay. The next item is the report from the WHOIS working group. I don't know, Philip, how you and Liz were going to split that up, but I turn it over to you now.
Okay, Doug. Well, let me kick off. I'm assuming everybody's read the report, so I'm not going to go through the whole report verbally. But what I could do is just take you through briefly the a little bit about the process, or a couple of questions on that, and then perhaps if Ms. Ellicott, perhaps Liz, want to say a few words, and then we can take questions on it either generally or by section, if that sounds like a good way forward. So in terms of the process, I mean, basically the group was running for about 4 months all told, so we were just a little over the deadline that we had originally hoped for. It was one of the biggest groups, I think, that we have done for some time, being about 70 people altogether, the majority of whom were technically observers to the group, but during group discussions we didn't really make any real distinction between members of constituencies, members of council, and observers. We allowed everybody to contribute as they felt best. Work had started off just to kick things off. We had three subgroups, which roughly split up the three topics that had been part of our terms of reference. They worked under three separate chairs just to get things going, and then staff in the form of Maria Farrell put together the first composite report for the group then to look at as a whole, and after that we started to work as a group as a whole and revisited all the subject matter, reordering it as appropriate, and worked through by topic at mostly all telephone conferences, but with one extended physical meeting, which was in Puerto Rico. That then led to a continued iteration of reports, which were updated according to those meetings. Not every report was a perfect encapsulation at the time. Some administrative bits were left for final changing later. But finally, we had then the last few meetings where the group was asked to validate the opinions of the report, and that was used in particular to help an assessment of whether or not opinions stated in the report were agreed, supported, or alternative views. And under alternative views, you need to be aware that they're not always contrary to what is said under agreed and supported, They may well be slightly different, but philosophically in agreement with what is under agreed and supported, but just not quite as broad as those two categories. And that was the process and how we went forward. And as you see, there's a whole set of agreed recommendations in the report, a number of supported, and a whole bunch of alternative views that has come out of it. So that is what I need to say about process.
Okay, maybe this is a good point to ask if there are anyone that has questions on the process. I can take a cue on that. This is for basically questions, clarifications, whatever. Does anyone have any questions on the process? No questions. Okay. So in which case then, I'm going to move on to the next section.
Okay. Liz, do you want to say anything at this point in terms of what you did in the latter stages of coming in to replace Maria as the support?
Right. It was quite a late stage, so I have very limited comments on that. I, basically primarily helped assemble the executive summary from the report itself and just put the last minute pieces together, helping with the wordsmithing. And candidly, my focus since then has been in considering the implementation notes and, additional information that we would want to have consultation internally with the staff on. And I can talk a little more about that, but that's really it.
Does anybody have any questions or clarification for Liz?
Liz, I could. This is Ross.
Okay.
Liz, I could barely hear you, but I took your last comment that, as I understand it, you were taking further consultation with staff on the report. Did I hear you correctly?
So following the report, right? The report is complete. I think the normal policy process is for the staff to prepare staff implementation notes. Expanding on some of the implementation considerations that were identified in the report itself and any other relevant considerations that the staff may have. And this would include, specifically the services staff and the legal staff with me as kind of a coordinator and synthesizer of those contributions.
Right. Okay.
The other piece, Aubrey, is that as we've discussed, there is the notion of bundling the reports together in the sense of just having a document perhaps that explains the outcomes and the process and the content of both reports in perhaps a more accessible way or an overview kind of way that I'm also developing at Aubrey's suggestion.
Right. I want to ask one point for clarification. So the staff notes often also includes questions that the staff has once they've started working through it. We don't have that staff note yet, right? That's something that will be coming later in the...
And that's kind of unfortunate. We looked at the schedule. Aubrey developed a kind of proposed schedule that suggested that we target preparation of the staff implementation notes for mid-October, which I think would normally be, the sort of appropriate interval just to give the staff time to consult and et cetera. But given the fact that so much of what the staff may identify in terms of questions may be helpful to the council, we've actually been talking internally about expediting the preparation of that. And I'm not prepared to make any commitment on the call today, but to say that we do think that might be of value to the council and that we're doing everything we can to accelerate the preparation of those notes to the degree that they may provide, additional useful insights for the team.
Okay, and we'll talk some more later about the follow-on process. Any other questions, or did you have more questions?
I just have a follow-up question.
What about I came on just now, I'm too late. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Hi, Norbert. Thank you for joining.
Can you hear me better, by the way? I changed phones.
No.
Okay, Ross.
Yeah, so the question regarding what the staff is considering now, is it limited to this report or the task force work as well, or, you know, I'm trying to understand the context in which staff is considering this, the context and the output that the staff is currently considering. Is it simply limited to this report, or is there more?
The way I conceive of it, based on my conversation with Aubrey, and
mm-hmm.
Aubrey, you know, I defer to you, but I actually view the task assigned as two distinct but related outputs, one being just an overview of both reports, which are lengthy and detailed. So just a helpful summary, if you will, that provides an accessible overview of what the content of both reports and the process, perhaps, too.
I see.
And then secondly, a specific set of staff implementation notes on the second report, because I believe that the staff produced implementation notes already on the first report, some of which are, you know, kind of irrelevant to, you know, the report, the current working group report.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful.
And Aubrey, is that consistent with your sense as well?
Yeah, that's consistent with my understanding. Does anyone else have a question?
Sorry, just add a clarification. I think, to some extent, I think also, if I remember correctly, some of the implementation notes on the task force report were indeed some of the questions that we tried to explore further during the working group. And what you see in the working group report on the implementation options, I said, were just that. And really, there was two reasons for including them, one of which was that they were ideas aired during group discussions, so it seemed reasonable to record them. But secondly, it also gave succor to a positive feeling that the recommendations above those implementation options at least could be implemented rather than were merely ideas that would have substantial challenge to implementation.
Okay, thanks. Anyone else have any questions so far on what Liz was discussing or the process? If not, okay, Philip, you want to go on? I think you were going to go into the document and the... I think going through it by just overview by section and letting people ask questions section by section, mm-hmm. and then at the end getting into an open discussion would be my recommended way of following through.
Okay, then we'll just take, I have questions at this point, I guess, just for clarification. I think there's no point in covering the executive summary or introduction. That, again, is a description process mostly. But let's kick off perhaps section one, objective. Any questions about those couple of pages?
So is everyone, first of all, comfortable with having read the report and going along with the assumption that we don't need to have Philip talk through the recommendations? Is that an assumption we've made? Is that a safe assumption?
Works for me.
Okay, does anyone feel that that's not an adequate way to do this? So no, okay, good. So we've all read it and then we're going through. Okay, so does anyone have questions on... Section 1.
I have a high-level question that relates to this and other sections, Aubrey.
Okay, please.
The word users is used repeatedly throughout this document as well as in this section. I was just wondering how that's defined by this report.
Those who were not otherwise identified as registrars or registries or law enforcement.
Do they include registrants?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's a, that's a very broad group. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else want to ask a question on this section? Okay, moving on.
Okay, so we're going on to the substantial point, section 2, which was a description about the OPOC themselves, who may be the OPOC, how do they relate to the registrant, and then questions about the need for verification of the OPOC's email address, and need for consent to be the OPOC themselves, proxy services, relationship with tech and admin contacts. Any questions?
Any questions? Take a cue on section two. Anyone have any questions? Points of clarification? Okay. Section three.
Okay, that's just four. That's fine. Let's move on to three. Now, this is looking at the role and responsibilities of the OPOC, which were mostly covered under sections 3.1 relay and 3.2 reveal. And I think after much discussion, it was realized that the remedy function of the OPOC was an exception rather than a rule. And was potentially a role that is even outside of who is it affected the nature of a website and content within that website.
Any questions relating to section three in terms of relay, reveal, or remedy?
Okay. It's probably worth saying at this stage. I mean, I think the people in particular who contributed to the content of Section 3, I think, were very keen that for them the concept of OPOC and the privacy enhancing aspects of OPOC, I think they would see as being conditional upon what they saw in Section 3 under the recommendations or the supported comments there. If we move on to Section 4, to do with compliance and enforcement, and it's basically all about the question is, well, we've asked the OPOC to do certain things, has certain rights and responsibilities. What happens if there's a bad actor involved, or what happens simply if there's a failure? Who do you go for recourse to? And the answer, I think, was, well, then you go for a course to the registrar and seek similar activities in terms of having data relayed or information relayed or revealed in terms of that data. So that's just section four, a couple of pages of that.
Okay, any questions for clarification on that? Okay, then moving on, section five.
Section 5 then went on to type of registrant and display implications, and this I think is a very key recommendation that came out of the group and to some extent set the tone for even some of the earlier sections and what came later, in that there was early agreement on a subgroup and subsequently endorsed by the majority, or far the greatest majority of the group as a whole, that it made a lot of sense in relation to what privacy, data privacy was all about, to have that related to natural persons, that's real living individuals, and not having that applying in the same way to legal persons, that's companies, businesses, partnerships, etc. And therefore the sense of Section 5 is to say that a distinction should be made between legal and natural persons at the time of registration. That's made by the registrant themselves. It's not subject to challenge at that point, but is subject to challenge subsequently, as part of what we described in those earlier sections. And the implication of that declaration is that if you're a legal person, you have the protection of a... if you're a natural person, you have the protection of limited display of who is records and the data privacy that results from that. If you're a legal person, then there is no change in the current display of who is as we see it today.
Any questions or clarifications on Section 5? Yes.
Philip, this is Christina. I do have a clarification question. Something that I've never been able to get a complete mental picture of is I understand that legal persons still be a full display of their who is records, but I'm not clear how that would what it would look like in a WHO is record if both legal and natural persons have to appoint an OPAC.
So I think our sense there was just in terms of making it simple. It would make sense that if you were a legal person, if your company, then the option was also there to appoint an OPOC, but that would make no difference to all that information being displayed, including the OPOC. And our assumption was that typically the OPOC may well be the registrant themselves.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. Thank you.
Philip, you'd this is Ross. Again, if I may, Audrey.
Sure. Hi.
Philip, you'd mentioned that that within the section that these proposals had the agreement of the majority of the working group. And how was that measured?
By in the same way that I described, in fact, in an email recently to Chuck, by having that discussed at a meeting. Like telephone conference, agreed upon that meeting, recorded then in a draft version of the report, and subsequently waiting to subsequently later on in the process asking people to validate that section in terms of their responses to that, and alternative views are captured on page 33.
So there was some sort of a tally or a poll taken on this question?
No, as I said, in the entire entire work of the group, there was no voting taken. It was done by agreement on a call, followed by validation of the report to follow that call, and then rejection and then objections subsequently recorded when they were made, when we went through a final few rounds of validation.
So really the characterization of the majority of the people supported these recommendations is really, you're saying that the number of people that supported these recommendations outnumbered the number of people that were disagreeing with them.
No, it was, we discussed something on a call, does everybody agree with this, question asked, no reply comes back, it goes down as agreed, one voice says something different, it's recorded at that time. The paper goes out. A couple of people that week say, oh, "I've seen it now. No, actually, I don't agree with that. That's recorded." And then later on, we had a more formal validation process of the entire report, which we went through by section over a few meetings.
I think I understand. So what I'm really trying to understand here is specifically as it relates to this section, the agreement is recorded. Yet we have a number of disagreements recorded, and I'm wondering whether or not the level of support behind this specific section is actually as strong as the report makes it out to be.
Any comment on that?
Just Chuck, I'll comment.
Okay.
I didn't take especially after Philip's clarification in the email that I sent, I don't think I read too much as much as maybe you are, Ross, in terms of what agreed meant. I think I understand how it was established. At the same time, it appears that agreed I think it's probably okay for a working group product if we as a council take any action on any of the recommendations. I believe we would have to be more explicit in terms of the level of agreement than happened in the working group, and I don't mean that as a criticism for the working group at all. It's just that I think if we do carry any of these things forward, we're going to have to get a better handle on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, as a council, if we take these things forward, we will at some point have to vote on approving this work. And I think, again, it'll be one of those votes where we look at, are we approving something as a block? Are we approving it separately? You know, and voting to separate the issues or not. but I don't think we're there yet. I think we're still at the point of trying to understand this output, and that's why the next step I had was then trying to figure out how we absorb, deal with this, and move forward. But yeah, I think at some point, if we are moving this forward, we need to take a vote on it as a council. And I think it's still open whether that will be voting on it section by section, voting on it agreement by agreement, or voting on it as a whole. And I don't think we're there yet on that particular detail. Any other questions on section 5? And that once we get through all these sections, you know, I'm going to, you know, open it up to just general discussion, but I just wanted to make sure that we got through all the sections and anything that needed clarification. Got it. If not, then we move to section 6, correct? Yes.
Okay. So section 6, then, is a consequence of the OPOC proposal, that because we're now saying that the WHO is record of natural persons would be incomplete in public display, the question is well, how might legitimate parties access that data? And we described, as you see, four ways of accessing that data, and then described who might do that, and whether or not there needed to be any authentication of people making those requests. And it has to be said this was a section that caused a substantial amount of discussion, in particular over the rather difficult question of authentication of who is a law enforcement agent, who is a legitimate member of the private sector asking for this sort of information, and indeed what is the role in a registrar to challenge law enforcement, and questions like that. The conclusion, as you see, I think, is probably worth just highlighting that the group knew of no known instance of a third-party system able to authenticate access as it's currently globally scaled. It felt that the feasibility of such a system should certainly be an area for further study, because it was judged by the group as being a significant issue. There was support, as you see, for if OPOC was to go ahead, then it seemed that the only available means of access would be based on self-declaration by the accessor, with a system of safeguards, challenge mechanism perhaps from the registrars to do that. And that was the discussion captured in section 6.
Anyone want to comment or ask questions, clarification? I'd like to ask one. It was my impression that this was perhaps one of the more controversial places for the agreed. It's just from listening to the end conversation there, that there was probably more discussion over whether line 846 agreed was agreed in both parts, and whether we might have been better off with a differentiated statement, one for LEAs and one for private actors. But I'm wondering if you could say something on that.
Yeah, I mean there was a change towards the end, certainly there, and differentiated statement was made under 6.5, which was need for access, and then there was more discussion when we got into section 6.6 about authentication, and there you see also a differentiation where there was some disagreement about there was a feeling by a number of users on self-declaration being seen as insufficient, and therefore a further refining of the or narrowing of the types of access that that group would be happy with allowing to private actors.
So you need to see those two sections for those two discussions that took place.
Okay. Would anybody else like to ask any clarifying questions?
I have another question over here.
Okay, Ross. Anyone else want to be on the list? Okay, Ross.
Neither 6263 or 6-4 provide any indication as to what level of support those recommendations have from within the working group. Is this simply an oversight in the drafting, or?
No. If you look at the phrasing just above 6.2, the two lines above that, what we ended up doing there was merely describing. Under 6.2, 6.3, 6.4, there was an intent that those were descriptions of the type of access, not recommendations of the type of access. And what was then agreed, supported alternative appears in the later sections in terms of need and authentication.
Right, yeah, 6.5 makes reference to those three definitions.
Great. Thank you.
Any other questions for clarification on 6? Okay. Moving on then to 7.
Yeah, 7 was simply two areas where there'd been quite a lot of discussion, and rather than throwing it in the bin, we thought it was worth recording that it was discussion that had taken place, but with board agreement that those ideas should not go further, one idea being accreditation of ORPUC by ICANN, a sort of parallel system to registrar accreditation. But it was recognized that even with the enormous number of registrars we have today, that nothing like the number of registrants, and so scalability and practicality came into question there. And the second part of that was part of the original terms of reference discussion to do with distinction based on use of a domain name, and it was realized that the idea about commercial and non-commercial was a bit of a non-starter, really, when you're looking at the beginning of the registration process, because you have no idea what use is going to be at that point. And it just got more and more complicated the more and more we discussed it. So finally, most of the group, but not everybody, agreed that that was not a useful distinction to make in the context of who is.
Thank you. Any questions on Section 7? No? Okay, moving on. Section 8.
Okay, 8, just one page on feasibility studies, I think, is an important section. We all know how long Who Is has been discussed. We all know that the real issues and problems are out there, challenges in terms of legal uncertainty. And certainly a lot of our discussions resulted in technical uncertainty as well. Our little group just worked for, as I said, 4 months or so. I think there was realization all around that there were areas either where we had service providers disagreeing with each other or users or other experts disagreeing with each other within the group. So we needed to recognize the need for greater certainty and therefore for certain studies. The studies listed there are in no particular order, but just grouped by type. As you can see, there's a series of bullets under cost-related studies. Is the cost of doing these things we're suggesting proportional to the benefit we're going to get out of it, or is it hugely out of league? Those sort of questions. Other studies suggested in terms of this concept of declaration of accessors and the issues raised in Section 6, the scalability of authenticating accessors, and finally a broader issue, maybe even a foundation issue, which is going on from the study originally proposed by GAC that we saw some response to in the ICANN ASAC study, which focused on spam, but looking in particular at the broad uses and misuses of Who Is data, informing us indeed of the level of harm that that we believe we are addressing, and indeed was understood by members of the group differently.
Okay, thanks. Any clarification questions on the three studies?
I was just, Aubrey, it's me again.
Yeah.
What level of support did Section 8 have amongst the working group?
I think everybody happy with the concept of a recognition that there was technical or legal uncertainty, and therefore study is a good way of solving that uncertainty.
I think one of the places, and this is a clarification question, is I don't know that while there was agreement on it, was there sort of a feeling that studies should be done before anything else, or studies shouldn't be done, you know, could be done in parallel? Was that one of the things that was included, or it was just, if I'm remembering back from conversations, that we felt the information was necessary, but we didn't necessarily all say, but this must be done first, or this must be done second, and can you clarify on that at all?
Well, I mean, certainly I think on Section 6, the two studies related to Section 6, we mentioned specifically in Section 6 the recommendation for study in that section as well. So I think that was felt as being important if we're to get resolution as to that issue. You know, in other words, you know, is it possible to have an authentication mechanism in any way that makes sense, yes or no? If no, then we have to accept the reality of something different. So I think that was seen as quite a foundation question.
Was there agreement on that particular?
No, yes. There was certain agreement that a study was needed, yeah. And that's highlighted in Section 6 as well as being in Section 8 in this list. And then the cost-related studies, I think, just really come out of that description in terms of those who were seeking certainty that the old POC would have some meaning. In other words, that we are not going from a system whereby you can have a false registration, obviously inaccurate data that is not otherwise challenged, to a system whereby you were hoping to get an earlier stage data and addresses and contacts that indeed were real and accurate. And addressing then the proportionality of that desire to say, well, is the cost of doing that going to be too much? And that was essentially the cause of disagreement within the group, with different people thinking, yeah, those sort of costs are acceptable, and others saying those costs and implementation issues are unacceptable. So it was a way to try to resolve some of those issues.
And also disagreement over who bore the cost.
I mean, first you find out what the cost is, and then perhaps you can decide and argue about who bears it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, any other questions on Section 8?
Yes, sorry, this is Chuck.
Okay, please, Chuck.
Philip, I don't see the use of the word term cost-benefit here, but it seems that it's kind of assumed that if you're going to do cost studies, you're going to measure, you know, compare costs to benefits. And one of the registry representatives in our constituency brought up the issue that in some areas, especially with regard to privacy, it's pretty hard to quantify the benefits or the even the harm in some cases of having, you know, less information displayed or having too much displayed. Did the group talk about that at all?
No, I think the point was well made on the group, which is why you don't see benefit appearing in Section 8, because you recognize that was challenging. So I think it was felt that, well, let's see what those things that we can measure are, and then what council board needs to take a decision based on those costs and their own feeling about the benefit of change as to whether or not you want to go ahead.
Thanks.
Okay, any other questions on this clarification part before we go into sort of an open discussion on sort of the issues that people see and just that? Okay, we which case, why don't we transition? First of all, thank you, Philip, for doing that recap and for the work with the working group. Now I'd like to actually open the discussion for a while before we get into what we do next in the report, if people want to bring up specific issues, concerns, support, non-support, whatever. I'd like to just open it up to general discussion at this point and take a cue on that. Anyone want to be in the queue for open discussion? No need for open discussion?
I have a question about open discussion, Aubrey. What are we discussing? Like, what are we trying to optimize for at this point? I'm still a little bit. I understand about as much about the step forward, the next steps, as I understand about the working group process that Philip has employed. So I feel kind of lost at this point.
Okay. Basically, the way I've been viewing this, and you know, this is one of the things we have to talk about next is, you know, the working group has reported back to us. We've now had a report. People have asked clarification questions. So I'm assuming we all understand the report in front of us. At this point, before we were moving on, just in terms of getting the sense of where we are at a council on a report we have, just basically wanted to let people discuss it, as not everybody was in the working group, and so therefore basically left some time just for people to sort of express their thoughts. I don't think we're necessarily going to reach any conclusions or whatever, but before moving on to what's the next step in the process, I just wanted to make that opportunity available.
Gotcha.
But if no one has anything to say, well, then we'll move on.
Aubrey, this is Chuck. I think it's hard not to jump into the next category in discussing this because I don't think we can talk too much about where we're at without leaning over into what do we do next, what do we do with this, how do we bring this to closure. So maybe it's best to just move on to that and have discussion related to those things as well and not restrict it.
Certainly, that's fine with me. Okay, I will talk a little bit then about the proposed process if no one else has any other comments. So basically the way I was looking at this, and this was just my first take on it and a starting place, is that we have a task force report that as a council we've never voted on. And we never voted on it because there were sort of open questions and people felt that this report had some issues that needed to be explored further before we could vote on it, before we could send it forward. So the terms of reference were written to try and explore those issues, come up with answers, perhaps come up with recommended solutions or what have you before coming back and then facing our responsibilities as a council to vote on a report and send it forward. So in looking at that, what struck me is, and this is one of the reasons why I asked Liz to basically start working on, one, the staff implementation notes that basically let us sort of view how they view the work. Is it understood? Does it open a new set of questions? Does it open problems? Does it solve problems for them? That whole part of taking policy and seeing the first steps of implementation before we actually take the final step and vote on things. That in a sense, what we have to vote on is still our task force recommendations and a set of recommended explanations, understandings, and whatever, that these two things now form the body of the work that we need to now take through. So I looked at a process that basically had Liz coming up with this draft final report that combines the task force report, the working group report, its recommendations, a high-level overview, that we review that in council, at least on the email list, but basically that it goes to constituency review at that point, that this work needs to go back to the constituencies before we actually then get to a point. If there are any constituency comments on that, they get incorporated. That there's a community public comment, because the practice we followed recently is whenever we've spent longer than a year working on something, longer even than 6 months, we go back to the public and sort of say, here's the extra work we've done, here we've put the two things together, what is the community's viewpoint on it? We have the staff production of the draft implementation notes that's happening in parallel to that. At that point, all this is to be completed before we get to LA. In LA, we have the face-to-face discussion, we have a discussion during the public meeting, and then we vote. And we either vote there or, as I put in here, we vote the first meeting after the meeting, after the LA meeting, on the recommendations, still leaving the question open, you know, what exactly are we voting on? Are we voting on just the task force recommendation? Are we voting on the task force recommendation and the working group recommendations? And within those, are we voting separately or in a block? Those are things that we need to get to yet. So that was sort of my first take at a process that we would follow to take us through to the point where whether we've got supermajority vote, majority vote, or a losing vote, that basically we've completed this chapter, we've done our best to reach consensus. There are some things we may have reached some level of consensus on. There's some things we may not have, but we package it up and we send it on, having followed our proper processes. So that was my approach. We've had two recommendations on the list, one from Mike about basically sort of, as I understood it in brief, and I've asked Mike to speak on it some more, is basically do the studies before moving any further, and then a counter motion, I'm not sure I understood it, as an amendment from Ross in terms of, you know, not doing the studies, basically moving on with a particular recommendation about the Who Is service itself. And I'd like to ask both Mike and Ross to talk about their recommendations, since I just talked about mine, and then we can go into open discussion. Mike, do you want to talk about yours?
Sure. Thanks, Avery. You know, in brief, it just seems like we're pretty far from any sort of implementable proposal. And there are a bunch of issues that have been discerned by the working group that could be further studied, including, you know, a big issue about the characteristics of the database itself, which is a study that the GAC requested some time ago. And therefore, it just makes evident sense to a bunch of us anyway that, you know, rather than moving forward on an incomplete proposal, that we try to fill in some of the holes.
Okay, thanks. And Ross, did you want to speak on the proposal that you were putting forward?
Yeah, certainly. As I understand Mike's motion and explanation, the business constituency and its supporters are looking to fill in holes. I think it's incumbent upon council to look at this situation in a very different way, in that we need to measure consensus around issues, and that after roughly 7 years of discussion around this topic, and certainly 3 or 4 years of work gone into the specific policy development process, that we haven't sufficiently advanced any consensus, and that now I believe it's incumbent upon us to recognize that and simply move ahead.
Okay, so I guess my proposal fell somewhere in between these two, which is basically I want us to basically put it all together and actually measure what level of consensus we have and where we fall on a vote, and then given that vote, you know, determines how far we got, then, you know, we send it on to the board. I'd like to open it up to discussion and questions.
I have a question for you, Aubrey.
Sure.
If you want to take a cue, I can.
I can take a cue, or I can start, and then the cue can happen later. Okay, fine. Excuse me?
Put it for the cue.
Oh, okay, so let's put a cue. Sorry, I didn't catch it. Okay, anyone else at the moment, or we'll just start? Okay, Ross.
The council has recently embarked upon a process that I don't quite understand. And where I don't understand this is how the working group process fits into the consensus policy development process. The consensus policy development process is a very explicit statement of how policy, which will become eventually contractually binding upon registries, registrars, and registrants, will be developed. In other words, it's a set of legal criteria that we are required to follow. I don't understand the how this recent work will fit in or meet that legal test, and I'm wondering if, Aubrey, if you've received any opinion from counsel, either ICANN or otherwise, as to whether or not Philip's work will actually meet those standards.
Okay, I have not explicitly asked that question. Having had it brought up, I guess I will explicitly ask that question. Certainly, they were consulted, I believe, when the, I'd have to confirm that, though, when the working group was being set up. In terms of my own view on this is the policy basically says that we have to, I mean, obviously, on the policy, we're already missing certain things like our timetables, by a lot. The policy talks about the kinds of votes that we have to take before we can move things on. It doesn't necessarily get explicit about some of the intermediate work that can be done to try and bring more information in, bring more comments in, bring whatever. So I still believe that as a council, we still have to try to achieve consensus. We still have to, by the bylaws, take our votes to determine whether we have supermajority on things or not. So the working group I see as input, but indeed as input that we have to vote on. And if we don't vote on it, or if it's voted against, it's just interesting information but has no, you know, has no weight as policy. Without a council vote giving it weight.
Add me to the queue, please, Aubrey.
Okay. So, Philip, I had you next.
Yeah. No, I mean, just speaking to me as council, not as a working group chair. And I think my sense of the process is that. We are well aware of an issue that needs addressing with WHOIS. This is an imperfect service out there with a series of challenges, and we have struggled with resolving that because of either conflicting philosophies or conflicting views in terms of cost. And what I think the task force had done was produce an option as to a way forward, and council looked at that and thought, that is quite interesting, but we don't know quite how it would look, you know. And so we formed a working group, and they said, well, let's make it broad. Let's bring in people we haven't who are concerned and affected by these issues in the wider world. So that we can understand their perspective and we can understand better about how it may look and how their needs also may be met. And that is what I think is described in the working group report. Now, our view as council, I think, is to say, well, does the sum total of this work to date give us something that is a coherent policy that we can vote yes or no on and go forward
and solve these issues that we have recognized many years ago? Or do we believe there are still some gaps to be filled before we can say this is a coherent policy and going forward? And to my mind, that should be the decision in front of us.
Okay. Chuck?
Yeah, Aubrey, this is in response to your comments. If I understand what you're saying is that to complete our work as a council, we need to take action, a vote on something, whatever that something is, and I think that could be as simple as voting that we don't believe that consensus was reached or is reachable on the terms of reference of the latest working group and overall in the task force. And here's our report for board information. Am I interpreting your statement correctly?
Yeah. I actually don't think we can take a meta vote. I don't think we can take a vote on whether there is consensus. I think we, when to get right down to what the bottom line is as the bylaws are written, we have to take a vote that shows whether there's supermajority or majority or not. And what we have is a task force report that still requires voting on. And as the task force vote was basically postponed until clarification could be gotten. Now, I think the decision we're faced with is we have to go back to the PDP process requires us to vote at the end of the task force work. We've got a task force report that needs to be voted on. We've now had some clarification, which is extra information. What happens to that information is indeed unclear. I believe that that is subject also to council vote. Do we support this as clarification or do we not? And we move on. But I don't believe we have a meta vote that says, yeah, I think there was consensus or not. I believe we have to vote as a council on whether we agree with something or don't. Trying not to confuse ourselves with the board's reorganization goals, which drive towards a more consensus process than a voting process. At the moment, we're still in the voting process.
But we have to define what we're voting on. I mean,
certainly.
Are you saying that we could take a vote to decide whether we accept the report and that's enough, or do we have to define it more precisely than that?
That's what I think the council still has to work its way through.
Okay. All right.
I think that we have to vote on the task force recommendation for an OPOC, yes or no. I think we also should vote on do we accept this report as guidance to the staff for the creation of an OPOC, yes or no. And that's sort of my simple way of looking at it, but I think as a council we have to decide what we want to do with the working group report.
Audrey, if I may?
Please. Anyone else want to get in the queue? Okay, Rob.
One of the features of the official or the processes outlined in the bylaws for developing policy is that there are really two layers of evaluation of any proposal. The first layer, the first evaluation happens at a constituency layer. The second evaluation happens at a council layer. I believe that first layer of evaluation has already been conducted as it relates to the task force work. Right now we're waiting for that second layer evaluation by council. Is this worthy of passing on to the board or not? As it relates to the working group output, I believe that we still need to go through that first layer of evaluation. And I think given that if we could include some element of that in your proposal, I would be comfortable moving forward along those lines, in that if somehow we could ask the constituencies to weigh in on this working group report somehow. That would give us the benefit of that evaluation that we could then take that into account as a council.
Yes. That is what point 4.3 was. Basically, I'd asked Liz to put the task force and the working group report together and then go back to the constituencies from September 20th through October 4th for a constituency review of the package. So it wasn't just of the working group. It was, you know, you've already given constituency view of the task force report, and you know, you may change that constituency view or you may not, you may modify it or not in the light of the working group. But certainly step 4.3 was indeed go back for constituency review.
Right. I guess I'd read that more as an invitation for commentary, whereas what I'm describing is more of a formalized, do you agree or disagree with these specific recommendations? A vote, in other words.
Okay. I guess maybe I wrote it wrong, because I was thinking of it as the normal, you know, constituency review that comes back with constituency comments on whether they agree or disagree with something. So I'm not sure where the disagreement is or the misunderstanding on my part is.
Well, I don't know if there necessarily is. I'm just I'm talking it through with you so that I understand.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I was definitely thinking of this as a standard constituency review, that we go back and the constituencies come back saying, yes, we support, no, we don't. And here's our reasons, and here's how it affects us. And the normal things that happen in a constituency review. And then also, after that, you know, incorporating those comments into the report, as is always done,
right.
And then going out for public comment, as is always done. And then, you know, basically having all of that, plus having the staff production of the draft implementation notes, and then moving towards a vote.
Right.
Now, one thing that might be useful at the same time that I didn't have here and didn't incorporate is, you know, whether in parallel some of these other studies are starting up or not. That's something that was in Mike's proposal that wasn't in my process proposal.
Right, right. So I guess to you know, to be extremely explicit with a modification to your proposal that I would like to see made would be a specific question sent to each constituent requesting whether or not they would support the inclusion of this working group output in the task force report, such that we could then consider that as a council, as an integrated proposal from the GNSO.
Have we said it to John McHugh when you're already?
And Chuck.
Okay, please. Okay, just one thing I wanted to comment is, however it comes out through today, what I'll produce is a motion that we can do at a next meeting, because I want us to talk about this today, but not necessarily vote on it. But Philip and Chuck.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, like Ross, where we can usefully go with this. I mean, if we have consistency review of we've already had a consistency review of the task force report by the nature of the vote that took place there. If we have consistent review now of the combined two, I mean, the sort of results you're going to get is, well, I would support it if this bit and this bit and this bit applied, but not if that bit and that bit didn't. And you're going to get that feeling in different directions and different constituencies. I think we can probably predict that much. And so at the end of that process, I just wonder where we will be. Usefully, as I say, to my mind, what we don't have is a coherent set of things to bring about to change that will meet the objectives that we're trying to meet in terms of improving who is. We have laid out some options
We fleshed out some of those options, and there was uncertainty surrounding them. So to my mind, all we can sensibly do with what we have to date is to say, here's an integrated report. I mean, it can basically be one report with the other one following to the board and say, this is work to date. These are areas of uncertainty. And our recommendation is that we seek to very rapidly, and that can be a question of months, resolve best we can those areas of uncertainty. And I think, to my mind, that means the studies, one or more. To do anything else just strikes me as being a little bit slavish to process, as opposed to focused on outcome, because we do not today, to my mind, have a coherent mechanism for change that will meet the objectives we wish to meet in informing who is. We have too much uncertainty surrounding that, but we are clearer as to where we are now than to where we were 4 months ago, and that is progress, because we have identified those areas of uncertainty.
Yeah, except that we don't know where the constituencies stand on that. Chuck?
Yeah, and in fact, Aubrey, you've identified where I think we need to focus, and that is that we need to find out where constituencies stand, but I don't think it's enough to just ask for feedback on the working group report or the two reports combined or whatever. I think we need to be able to take something a little more substantial back to the constituencies, maybe in the form of questions, to get feedback. Now, Mike, representing the business constituency, has put a motion on the table. I suspect that others would approach it maybe somewhat differently than that motion. It'd be good if maybe one question we go back to constituencies. How do you what do you think the next steps should be? What should we do? Are there any elements of the? And I'm brainstorming personally here. I'm not necessarily advocating the questions I'm asking. Are there elements of the report that, or the task force report that could be implemented independently? I don't know what all the questions are, but I think we need to go back to the constituencies. We need to be able to take back to our constituencies some specific questions for feedback that will guide us in terms of next steps.
If I might jump in on this.
Yeah, let me see. There's Ross. Anyone else want to be in this queue, on this discussion? Okay, Ross.
Chuck and I guess this is a general comment directed to both Chuck and Philip. Philip, the key word that jumped out at me in your statement was coherency. I don't see any coherency at this point. And I think what I'm proposing is a very binary yes or a no balloting mechanism that we can use to determine whether or not the constituencies view the current recommendations from that working group as being remotely coherent. If they are acceptable to the constituencies, then I think that's worthy of council consideration. If they're not, then we can put it to bed. What I worry about with what you're describing, Chuck, is that what you were describing to me sounds like council business. And while I understand that each of us must consult with our constituencies in order to represent their interests in this forum, we have had 7 years of discussion and data gathering and studies and task force and working groups and consultations and forums on this question. I would seriously question what new information we're going to find at this late day, whether it be procedural, substantive, or otherwise. I think by simply judging this report on its merits as to whether or not it should be considered by council is really the only question that we need to answer at this point. If it's not worthy of our judgment, then we can simply move on by voting on that task force report as it stands. If there is an agreement that this is policy that's worthy of board's consideration, then we should pass it on to the board for their consideration. But I will positively resist any attempt to further study this issue, because I believe that we've got 7 years of study behind us, and I think it's time for us to move forward in some way. And if that means no output, then I think we need to be prepared and be comfortable with that.
Aubrey, can I respond to that?
Sure, Chuck. Anyone else? Okay, Chuck, go ahead.
Ross, first of all, I don't think I articulated what I was what I wanted to say very well, because I certainly was not advocating going out and trying to get more information. I was trying to advocate getting feedback from constituencies regarding, you know, what they think the best way to handle this. The question you just articulated may be the question we need to ask. I don't know for sure what the question or question is we need to ask, but that could be could accomplish what I was trying to advocate.
Right. So Chuck, then, are you advocating that we as councillors go back to our constituencies and consult with them so that we can discuss this at council next meeting, or
I'm advocating that we go back and ask, you know, get whatever feedback we think we need to decide what the best way to handle what we have now is. Is it the BC's approach? Is it, you know, just saying thanks, and we don't think there's a coherent or complete enough product to be able to make policy, and that's our decision? That's what I'm asking.
Right, but I guess to re-ask my question in a different way, are you advocating that we do this individually as councillors or collectively as council?
Well, I want to be able to go back to my constituency and you know, ask, get enough direction from them so that I know that I'm representing their views.
I see. Okay. I completely concur and agree, and that's our job as councillors, right?
Right. And I think that if I can interject, I think that as much as possible, using the standard, you know, PDP practice of taking a report and going to the constituencies, asking for them to give their constituency view on it with its effect to the constituency is sort of, I know it may be slavish to process, but I do believe that, you know, we do need to follow the kinds of practice and process that are laid down for us in terms of doing this. So we did some extra work. We need to go back and get the constituency's take on it before we move on as a council to take our council votes on it.
Other in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, anyone else? Okay, Milwaukee.
Yes, I just wanted to say I agree with the approach of asking not further input, but just an advice, a piece of advice on the report from the council as to the way forward, how to conclude this work. We don't need further surveys or inquiries and other studies, just to say, how do we conclude this work? What's the next step? Something very short, and maybe it may be that at this point we need political decision. So maybe government or law enforcement bodies will need to take this and negotiate among themselves how to set up a global policy to address this issue. I don't think it's up to the council now to carry on with this and do some further study about this. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Anyone else want to discuss?
Yeah, it's like roadblocks. I'm still not really clear where Ross is going. I'm not sure what the question is that Ross is proposing about the working group report.
Well, I guess I'm happy to clarify. Like, if I could characterize it in the form of a motion, I'm not making a motion, but I'll characterize it in the form of a motion for clarity's sake. I would move that the council accept the working group report. And in order to give its councillors time to consult with their constituencies, we'll deliberate it at a future meeting.
Okay.
And, of course, we could add all sorts of whereases and blah, 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 but that would be the...
Right. Basically, if I'm not misunderstanding, I think that what you're suggesting sort of matches with what I was proposing. That, I mean, I formalized it a little. What I'd like to do is continue moving forward on having Liz work on the documents, and basically at our next meeting, now we have, at the moment we have essentially three motions on the floor. We've got my process motion on we move forward, which essentially includes, it's kind of like what you just said, Ross, and while it doesn't have the whereases, has a, you know, breakdown of dates in the process for when and how we get to that future consideration. We have Mike's proposal, and we have your proposal, which was, you know, a more specific a way of dealing with the working group report. And that, assuming all three of those stay on the table, that we basically go through and do a council vote on those three motions at our next meeting to see how we proceed. I think there's no doubt that we need to have a report to the board that includes both the task force report and the working group report. What we actually vote on as recommendations is still sort of dangling in the air. But I do believe that, you know, so Liz's work of pulling together the final report that combines the two is something that needs to go on. And does anyone disagree with that? Okay, good. Because I don't want to ask Liz to do something that's a waste of her time if people don't think that needs to be done.
I would ask a clarifying question on that.
Yeah, as would I.
Okay.
What exactly is the output that we're hoping for from Liz combining the two reports? Is she coming up with a list of proposed recommendations out of those two reports? Or simply trying to summarize the two documents, coalesce them into one?
Yep, the second. In other words, the reference, the decisions is ours to make.
Okay.
But we do need to go out to review, and we need people to review the working group report in the context of the task force report that brought up the question.
Okay, so that will result, though, effectively in a whole set of recommendations from both the working group and the task force, and then the council will have to decide which of those it would support, either all
right.
or some of them, correct? Okay.
Exactly, right. And so that's where, when it comes time for a vote, then we have to figure out what we're, are we voting just on the task force recommendations, or are we voting on all of them, and that would be based on, you know, the decisions of the constituencies. But basically, so I have a process that I've offered up essentially as a motion, and then we have the motions from the two of you that I don't want to put to a vote this week that I'd like to continue discussing on the list and then take a vote on them quickly at the end of, you know, the next meeting.
Aubrey, just a quick clarification on that statement. Take a vote on the motions, not necessarily as they stand today, but as they may be modified between now and then. In other words, the discussion on the list could bring about some changes today.
Right, and a motion could, you know, they could combine, they could disappear, yes.
Or a new motion could be made.
Right.
I agree with that. I think, I mean, to my mind, there's actually no contradiction between the proposal that Mike made on the BC, which is basically do study four straight away, and then see about the others, versus what we're saying in terms of process, which is let's get some constituency input on the work to date. And they strike me as two blindingly obvious things to do. Perhaps I'm just too simplistic in this.
No, I think where they're different is in the process motion that I was putting forward, we would not wait for studies to be done before we would vote
That's fine. I'm saying do them in parallel. I'm saying, why doesn't council say, yeah, let's kick off that study now. It can be done, by the time we probably address this again. Get that happening, so there's more information coming in. And in the meantime, let's hear what constituents have got to say about the task force and working group output.
Yeah. Okay. In that respect, yeah, they're probably not at all in disagreement. You're right.
Exactly. So maybe between all of us, we can come up with some clever notion on this between now and the next meeting.
Right. And yeah. And then there's also Ross's proposal on the table as well. Okay. Any further discussion on this? So basically, we'll try to in the next couple days. Because we're already a week, and this time we only have a week before the next meeting, and then if folks agree to the other interim meeting, I'm asking for it'll be 3 weeks to the meeting before that, after that. So, and I'd like to get these on the table at the next meeting, assuming we have time after we have finished the new GTOV work.
I'm sorry, Avi, you're suggesting that we be prepared to vote on motions on the 6th?
On motions on how to proceed with the process, yes.
This is Christina. I think that's, at least for my constituency, going to be very difficult to do, given that, A, we're only talking a week, and B, in the U.S., there's an intervening federal holiday.
Yeah, I think it's challenging.
Okay, so this would have just been on the process motion, not on the agreement with the work itself.
Oh, that helps me. I didn't fully understand that.
Right.
What I'm trying to,
we're almost there on the process. We just haven't voted on it yet, and we haven't basically settled on how we're going to finish the process because the language is a little loose, plus the motions haven't been on the table long enough. So what I'm trying to do is get us to settle by the next meeting how we're going to, we're going to do a constituency review on this date and, we're going to ask about the inclusion of this report. We're going to ask the staff to start the surveys or not. That's what I meant, that we'd be voting on, not the constituency review itself.
Okay. Thank you.
Aubrey, what would be helpful, I think, for all of us is if you would put what you just said, not necessarily verbatim of your words here, but so that all of us go back to our constituencies with the same message, it would be helpful if you clarified that in an email to us for us to forward.
Yes, I will try to get that done by tomorrow morning, U.S. time.
That's good.
I have to sleep a little bit first. I haven't slept sometimes yesterday.
So this might go to Ari. Would it make sense to try to take temperature of the council now while we're all together and discussing this issue and we have these proposed motions in front of us? Seems to me that, as Philip was suggesting, there's a rather simple question. Can we include in your process proposal kicking off the first study that we're suggesting and that the working group suggested?
I was thinking that we would have two separate votes. That one is we're asking the staff to do some work on some studies, and one is a parallel process that is not dependent on the studies for how to wind up the work.
I'm not suggesting that they be dependent on one another, only that we agree to kick one off while we're discussing while we're going through the process that you suggested, and then that would satisfy, the GAC's request for such a study, and as well as several constituencies' requests for such a study.
I think I guess I'm suggesting we take the vote on that in essence. But I'm more than willing to ask. I really do think though that we should take the vote on that next week.
I would concur with that approach, Aubrey.
Excuse me?
I would concur with your approach on that.
Okay, because basically the motion for the studies hasn't been on the table long enough for people to talk and think about it. So we've talked about it some today, but, to do a pseudo vote at the moment is, I don't know what it achieves for us, so I prefer to just do the vote on it next week.
Okay, I'm just suggesting that we might get broader consensus if we attempt to merge the two proposals together, yours and mine, in some fashion.
Mike, I don't think merging them is the right way to go. Based on what little feedback I've received from my own constituency right now, I think it is better to keep them separate.
Okay, would anyone else like to comment before we move on?
Yeah, I do think the same. It's better to keep them separate.
Okay, anyone else like to comment at this point?
Aubrey, just me. I would almost... You know, you've continuously characterized your proposal as a motion. I believe, from what I'm hearing, anyways, that you are just simply describing the mechanics of managing your work as chair. It need not have the endorsement of my constituency to proceed along those means, along those lines that you've described. And I thank you for the heads up on that. And you know, Godspeed. Let's hope that that we've got something quickly, right? But, it's not something that needs a vote or my support, I don't believe. Or anyone's support, for that matter.
Okay. I think, though, at this point, having asked the council for their support on the process as outlined, and yes, it was in the agenda for this week, so it certainly has been on the table long enough, I'd like to get the council buy-in to that. Perhaps I can ask, does anyone object to following through with the process that I have outlined in the agenda? And that we would take the vote on doing the reports next week. And this is sort of at based on the suggestion that Ross made. Does anyone object to the sort of following the PDP process with the working group report?
Are you suggesting everything that was in the agenda under 4.1 and going forward to 4.9? Because that seems to be working through a process that is deemed to be complete, and I don't think we do have a process that's complete. Isn't that what everybody's agreeing to? My only concern with it. I thought your early suggestions in terms of let's find out more formally what constituencies think about it is fine, but going forward to that and thinking about public comments and meetings in LA and pretending we're completing a PDP seems to be a bit odd.
Well, we are completing a PDP, but okay. Let me put it this way. I will put it to a vote next week, and we can continue on the process at that point. Since I did get some objection to following through with the process as I laid out, let me just leave it with let's vote on it next week.
Okay, this is Christina. I'm sorry, but I just am now terribly confused. Just so I'm clear, that one of the things we will vote on at our next meeting on September 6th is whether or not we will support the process for going forward as laid out in item 4 of the agenda for today's meeting.
With slight editing, yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure I was clear as to what we'd ultimately decided.
Right. And we will vote on Mike's proposal.
Okay.
Because that one sort of, I'm taking that as a motion that's been made and seconded, although we'll have to confirm that. And then it's up to Ross whether his proposal and getting it seconded, whether we vote on that one next week or not. And that's up to Ross. Does that make sense?
It's Mike Rodenbaugh. One minor question on your proposal, Aubrey, in the agenda. For constituency review, you're only allowing 14 days. I think that's a fairly extremely short amount of time to review those two documents put together, because we really have no idea how that's going to look, other than it's going to be at least 100 pages. And obviously this is a very contentious issue, so.
Okay.
It wouldn't be that long. We don't need to regurgitate everything in both reports. If it could be consolidated better with the main points, you can always refer back to the main reports if people want more detail.
Right, and the reports are pretty much on the table, but, I guess 20 days would be the maximum and would be the normal now. Mm-hmm. I could certainly make it longer in the proposal. As I said, I can tweak that.
Sure.
This is well-trod ground, Aubrey. I'm not in support of any extension of the comment period. I just can't let that slide by. I'm sorry.
Okay. I will. I need to find out, what is our normal constituency review time? And I will go with that.
And longer than 14 days because our charter and the business constituency requires 14 days posting for comments proposal.
But that's the problem with your charter, Mike. Given that we were going through this working group and receiving feedback from multinational corporations, constituencies, and everybody in between in a matter of hours and days, I believe that we can work to similarly tight timelines at a council level. And if that's not the case, I'm completely shocked that we would support that at one level in this organization and not in another. In other words, I smell an agenda here, and I'd like to move forward along what Aubrey's proposed.
Well,
I admire your indignation on this.
Okay, I'd like to cut this one now. I will propose something, and we can vote on it next time, and I'll try and get the interval something that can be accepted by people. And I'd really like to go through the review of action items now. So thank you for all the contributions on that one. On the action items, okay, where is that? I've got that here. I know I've got that open. Excuse me.
I have to leave it out.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Okay. Let me go through this quickly and get to the ones that are point. There's not much point in talking about contractual conditions. That's done. Who is? We've just gone through that. I'm not going to get into date due on that. New GTLD, we're voting on the recommendations next week. Not much more to say about that one at the moment. The IGO issues follow-up, that report is still coming in, and I don't know if, Olaf, you had anything to comment on that at this point.
Not very much. The work is advancing, and there is a draft, but I'm too shy to share it with you at this time.
Okay, thank you. domain taking issues follow-up, that's still in progress. Mike, I don't know if you wanted to say anything about that at this point.
Nope, it is still in progress, and I think the timelines are looking good.
Okay. The response to the board resolution regarding IDN CCTLDs, that one, the report has been the first draft from the committee, or the final draft from the committee, or the working group, ad hoc group, excuse me, has been published. We have to get a schedule for discussing that. One of the things that I wanted to do is basically schedule a meeting on 23rd September where we basically discuss, basically Chuck does a walkthrough of that report, and then we have a discussion on that. And that would be setting up another meeting in our same time slot 2 weeks after the September 6th meeting, so for September 23rd.
The 20th, I think, is the date.
Is it the 20th? Do I have my calendar wrong?
The 23rd's a Sunday.
It's the 20th, sorry. It's the, I was probably looking at the wrong year, knowing me. Okay, so it's the 20th. So there would be a discussion then on that and see how far we got in terms of getting the council to approve what the ad hoc group is recommending and see whether we need another discussion on it. I've tentatively set a second discussion for it on the weekend before the meeting just so we can deal with any issues that don't get resolved on the 13th.
And just to reiterate, that I sent that document a couple weeks ago to the council list. It's a 17-page document that everyone should have.
Okay. And so everyone is recommended to read that so that by the September 20th meeting, does anyone have any issues with the September 20th meeting at this point, or can I schedule it? Hearing no issues, I will ask staff to schedule that one for us. Same time slot. The RN recommendations for existing TLDs, Craig had an update for us, I believe.
This is Patrick.
Patrick, sorry.
Yep. Late yesterday, I provided Chuck, chair of the Reserve Names Working Group, with the draft proposed implementation document. And I mean, it should be just a matter of, you know, if Chuck doesn't see any problems with it, then he can pass that on, or I can send along a final version through them to the council.
And I will do my, I already told Patrick, I'd get my review done early next week. So I, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to do it the rest of this week. So.
Okay. And then at some point, we'll have to put that on the schedule. It's not one of the things I've got on our high-level schedule at the moment, but we can talk about it, Chuck, and figure out where it fits.
Sure.
The next thing was develop a plan for holding an extensive comment session in L.A. That six-hour session on Monday afternoon is now scheduled. We had a meeting on it yesterday. I think we have another meeting on it next week in terms of ironing out the details of, you know, what we're going to do and how it's going to work. We need to get an announcement out very soon. Chuck has basically taken the leadership on putting this plan together, but it's coming together, and it's basically been Chuck, Christina, Adrian, myself, and Denise, I believe, that have been working on this. And so we should have something for the council. Let me see, when did I put that on? I'm not sure what I have that on. But,
I don't know if we have a target specific date, but we're going to try and do it probably by mid-September. So at the latest, some things could be done and people can start preparing by the end of September.
Right, but this is really more of a planning session than a, you know, than a, something that needs a council decision.
Yeah. Well,
then the last thing.
We'll
want and did you
want
to say something?
The council.
But
you're right. That's absolutely right.
Then the last thing, I've added a line, the register transfer policy review, to the work items. And Ross, did you? Were you ready to speak to that, at least on where we're going with it? I have it, put it on the agenda tentatively that you would just give us an update on status now, but for the September 20th meeting, it was one of the things that I put on the agenda for discussion.
Yep, definitely. I'm happy to give you an update. The working group has now concluded its work. The staff has prepared its final advisories and report pursuant to the closure of that work. That document, those sets of documents, will be distributed along with some proposed recommendations concerning our path forward this week to the council. So I'm very pleased to report that we're finally a step away from being completely finished with this.
Fantastic. Thank you. Any questions? This is the first time that has been on the schedule. So as I say, I've got that on a schedule for 20 September. That's right, 20 September. Oh, yeah, that's where the discuss agenda for LDA public meeting is. So I had that in that meeting, too. That meeting has three items on it. Okay, that's the end of that. If you'll notice that I sent you, excuse me?
I actually do have a question about action items, Aubrey.
Sure.
We have an action item coming out of Resolution 2006-1116-5 concerning term limits for councillors.
I don't believe anything has been done pursuant to that resolution. And perhaps we could either, perhaps we could add that to the list of action items so that it doesn't get dropped.
Okay, certainly. That's right. We did take the, right, we did vote on that, and I haven't followed up on it yet. Okay. Thank you, and I will add that to the action item, and I'll put myself as having the token on checking up on it and reporting back. Okay, I sent out to the group a high-level agenda. I'll try to keep that going for at least, you know, the next 2 months in advance as a sort of rolling thing so we know what's coming. Being that it's a high-level agenda, you know, for 2 months, it obviously will change at times, but just so we have a better idea of what we're working on when. And anything else on the action items list? No? Okay. Any other business? I didn't have anything under any other business. I don't know if anyone else did.
Aubrey, this is Christina. I remember seeing at some point on the list some traffic about getting some guidance from the General Counsel's office as to the whole issue of proxy voting, but I wasn't really quite sure where we left that.
Yes, I think we did get, we had a motion. I think I should probably add that one also. Don't know if I'm getting that feedback again. Add that to the action item list because we did take a vote on that, and I need to follow up on it and see where it's at.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thanks. So I will also add that one to the action item with me having the token on proxy voting. Anything else? Okay, I thank you. I thank you for putting up with a rather tired me, and I hope that my tiredness didn't come through very much. Talk to you all again next week.
Thanks, Aubrey.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Aubrey.
Bye-bye.
Bye.